So it's Exodus chapter 12, and we'll read from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. Amen. We'll just pause there for a moment and consider some of these verses. We've seen over the past weeks how the Lord purposed to bring judgment upon Pharaoh and upon all Egypt. Judgment for the suffering inflicted upon his people, Israel, and for the contempt shown by Pharaoh and his followers against the word and the warnings of God, personified, of course, in Moses and Aaron. And we've seen now 9 plagues being brought already on this nation of Egypt at great cost to life and property. But still, Pharaoh refused to let the children of Israel go and worship God. And now we come to a 10th and final plague that God would visit upon the land. We're told by the Lord that God himself would go through the land and smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And Moses is instructed to prepare the children of Israel for the coming of the Lord, or what is called the destroyer. And they must, in preparation for this night of destruction, this 10th plague of the smiting of the firstborn, the children of Israel must prepare for that event in a way of protecting their own homes and their own lives and families' lives. They must slay an unblemished lamb or a goat that could be taken as a kid from the goats. And they were to take the blood of that lamb or that kid and daub the blood on the doorposts and the lintel of their homes. And they're to prepare a meal of the lamb, and they are to eat that meal in their homes, shut in, with their shoes on and with their coats on and with their staff or their sticks in their hand. And they are to eat it, ready to leave the land of Egypt quickly. And so the Lord has set up this situation of anticipation and preparation prior to him coming through the land in judgment. And this is the first time that there has been any requirement placed upon the children of Israel themselves for a plague. But now these specific instructions are given for all the families and households of the people. A lamb and a kid must be without blemish. It must be cooked in a special way. It must be eaten in a special way with bitter herbs. And it must be completely consumed overnight within the closed doors of the family. And anything that remains uneaten in the morning must be burned with fire. This meal was to have special significance, not only in the moment, but for the rest of the history of the Jewish people for many, many years to come. The meal would be a testimony and a memorial in the coming years and to coming generations of God's mercy and his power and his deliverance of his people from their enemies. And Moses told the people in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 23, we didn't read it there, but we will in a moment, for the Lord will pass through to smite or to kill the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood of the lamb or the kid upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will deliver or pass over, the Lord's destroyer will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto the house to smite you. Israel would be safe under the blood. And the Lord would pass through the land and pass over the homes where these instructions had been carried out. And the blood was visible on the doorposts and lintels. And this feast would become known as the Passover because God passed over the homes where he saw the blood. And this destroyer, or a destroying angel as it is sometimes called, a death angel, would not be permitted to enter those homes or hurt those people. And this is what Moses goes on to say in verse 29 of this same passage. He says this, "And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt." We sometimes call this the midnight cry. "For there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron," that is Pharaoh, "he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and said, Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also." So here we find a distraught Pharaoh. He didn't actually speak directly to Moses and Aaron, because he did not see their faces again, we are told, from a previous encounter, but rather he sent his servants to prostrate themselves, to lie on the floor before Moses and Aaron and plead with them that they would leave his country. I thought a little bit about this judgment that befell Egypt as I was preparing, obviously. And I wondered if perhaps with the exception of the flood in Noah's time, there was ever such a judgment as this. What a crippling wound was made this night upon a nation and every individual family. From Pharaoh on the throne to the captives in the prison, there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Some people have wondered if there would have been necessarily a firstborn in every house. And yet it does say here that there was not a house in the whole of Egypt where there was not one dead. And it has also been suggested that perhaps God ordered it to be so that no one was unaffected by the destruction on this night, that there was weeping in every family and in every home. Whatever the immediate circumstances, the outpouring of grief must have been immense. And there are a couple of important applications that I want to make with you here from this passage. One way or another, the whole of the Old Testament scriptures point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we remember that the Lord himself said that Moses spoke of him. And this is one of the key passages. This chapter is one of the key passages where the substitutionary sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross is most clearly portrayed in the Old Testament writings. I have no doubt that this was a central picture or type, as we call it, of the coming Messiah for the Old Testament believers. They looked at this ceremony. They looked at this event in the life of Moses and the children of Israel, and they saw in picture form the work of the Messiah, what the Lord Jesus Christ would do. Indeed, the book of the Hebrews tells us, and of course Hebrews was written to the Hebrews, the children of Israel, and the writer to the Hebrews tells us in chapter 11 and verse 28 that it was through faith that he, that's Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So Moses understood, and as Moses understood, so many of the children of Israel that had been granted this gift of spiritual insight and understanding understood the significance of this event and this memorial service by faith. And by faith, Old Testament believers were saved in their souls, in their spirits, in the same way as we are saved, by trusting in the atoning sacrifice of the Messiah for them. And Paul tells us, he joins these two things up, this lamb that was slain and its blood placed upon the doorposts and the lintel, and the Lamb of God, which the Saviour is so often called in Scripture. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 brings these two great works together, the work of the Passover and the work of Christ, by declaring that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And as we've seen in some of the recent sermons that we've shared together, there's a close identification between the rituals of this feast of the Passover and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the Lord Jesus was crucified during the Passover feast as the antitype or the fulfillment and the spiritual and doctrinal parallels show that Christ's death was to be that fulfillment and a key event in the history of Israel and of the Lord's people. So it's good for us to understand this overlap and this parallel, this type and antitype, this picture and fulfillment that we have in the person of Christ. But here's the second thing I want us to notice. The unblemished lamb is a picture of Christ's purity and worthiness to represent his people before God. So that not only is there in the general picture an application to Christ and spiritual aspects of the Lord Jesus Christ, but in the individual parts there are also parallels to be found. And this is one of the beauties of the Word of God, is that when we read these Old Testament scriptures, we can, with spiritual eyes and understanding, discern and discover the Lord Jesus Christ in them. The lamb was to be taken, and it was to be examined, and it was to be shown to be without blemish. And the Lord Jesus Christ must be without sin. He must be pure to be the substitute for his people, to be a worthy substitute to atone for our sins. And another picture is that the slaying and roasting of the lamb speaks of the Lord being punished under the fiery judgment of God's wrath. Once again, the blood on the doorposts and the lintel speaks of being covered and protected by the shed blood of the Saviour. Remember, it was the absence of blood that brought disaster at the hand of God's destroying angel. Wherever the Lord did not see the blood, death was imposed and the family was afflicted. But where the Lord saw the blood, where God saw the blood, he passed over. And that speaks to us of being under the benefits of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Once again, the sprinkling of blood on the doorposts and lintel is a picture of the sprinkling of Christ's cleansing blood in our consciences and for our sin. And it's a reminder that not only must the blood of Christ be shed, it must also be applied individually through personal repentance and faith. And the unleavened bread, it speaks about the sincere and truthful worship of God's people as they meditate and think upon the death of Christ. That we have that benefit and that blessing of the work of Christ afforded to us. The bitter herbs that were eaten along with the roast lamb speak of the trials of God's people in this life, that we're beset with troubles. The lamb for a household and nothing being allowed to remain in the morning points to the sufficiency of Christ, but also the particularity of Christ's death for his elect people alone. And the eating of the lamb, roasted in preparation of this feast with shoes on and with coats on and with a staff in hand, reminds us that this world is not our home. And just as the children of Israel were about to be led out of the land of Egypt, so we should not be content to remain here, but rather be eagerly looking forward to our eternal home and a better land and an inheritance that is laid up for us in heaven. And just finally, one more little point. Let us remember this in the history of the plagues and in the account that is given here by Moses. A first-hand account, remember. Let us remember what Moses was told concerning Pharaoh in the land of Egypt. When God says he is going to do something, he will do it. Pharaoh is an example. He was an example to Israel. He was an example to the world. And he is an example to us all. God has promised that he is going to judge this world in a day to come. And someday every man and woman and boy and girl will stand before the judgment seat of God, the judgment seat of Christ. And yet God has set up a way of escape and a means of deliverance and salvation by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ as a substitute for sinners. Just as the lamb in Egypt was slain and its blood applied, and that was the salvation for the firstborn in every home of the children of Israel. So by the slaying and shedding of blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of God's chosen people, all of God's firstborn sons and daughters are saved by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our substitute and he died in our place. Our deliverance and safety is assured as we are under the blood of Jesus Christ. So may God grant us faith to believe and give us ears to hear the warnings and to see eyes to see the grace that we may flee to Christ for mercy. Amen. May the Lord bless you.